Hey, Cheryl.
Hey, Cheryl.
We usually sit down a little bit quicker than this, and we waited to the last minute to sit down. So when you said the mic is all yours, I went, ah! Did you find it, Tom? Okay. So it's me and Connie and Cheryl and all those listeners out in Radio Land. We are here for Growing with NTI. And let me close this door and then we'll say a prayer. Wouldn't want Tom to hear the prayer. I'm teasing. Okay, good. Well, your mic seemed to be working properly, Cheryl, so we're all set. So let's settle in with a prayer. And that is my prayer. The willingness just to be in this moment and settle in this moment without the need for anything to be different, without the troublesome thoughts, seemingly troublesome thoughts of the day, interfering with the clarity that is available to us in this instant and in each instant when we only remember to look. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for all of your gifts. Amen.
You've captured on the first paragraph that we're going to read tonight with your prayer.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Hey, Marge.
Hey, Mom.
Thanks for the food, Marge. Connie just gave it to me. Oh, was I not supposed to say that?
I wasn't going to drive it into you before. Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 16.
Okay. That is funny, that paragraph. So let's read this first paragraph. Do not be content to let your thoughts of the world mix with your thoughts of God. For this is to be content with the agreement of the split mind. The agreement of the split mind is the agreement that is different from heaven. Erase the split that has been imagined by erasing the desire for something different. Erase the split that has been imagined by erasing the desire for something different. Recognize the world for what it is, and let the thoughts that are worldly thoughts go with the desire that you no longer seek. I'm pausing
dramatically
because just that quick something came in my mind and went out again about what Regina had said about this week, and so I'm and like I say, it's gone again, so give me just a second. I have no idea. Man, it was
the desire
in and out
for
that
something
quick.
Different.
Well, yeah, and you know, we would traditionally think about this as, you know, that the tiny mad idea, and yet the one that we recreate day by day by day. Right?
Yeah, the tiny mad idea only continues to exist because we continue to operate in that mindset.
Right, right, and this says recognize the world for what it is, and that was the thought that Regina talked to us about in the tips this week, when she talked about recognizing that the world is really just a reflection of our state of mind, and mine is in a world of hers. If you look at my world. And I say that because I seemingly have a very lot going on, so it seems kind of it seems kind of chaotic and kind of everything seems like it needs to be done right this minute. It has seemed this past week, at least, I can see even the distraction here. It's like a thought pops in my mind, and then I look at the screen and start to read what Cheryl wrote and went, wait, you're in the middle of a sentence. Go back to what you're thinking. Then I go back to what I'm thinking. I'm like, what? But it seems like the distractions are like, you know, like they're bells and whistles and fireworks. And it's like, look at that, right?
Squirrel.
Squirrel. Yeah. So again, the idea was that if we see the world not as meaning anything, then we can see it as a reflection of our state of mind, the condition of our mind, and in that way, we can use it for healing.
Yeah, it becomes a symbol of what's going on with you.
Right, the world becomes a symbol of what's going on with you rather than a fact.
Yes.
Yeah, that has to be resolved or dealt with or even accepted. It's
yeah.
like, oh, I accept that I'm seeing this through the filter of my mind. I'm seeing
Clarity, lack of peace, lack of solidarity, lack of downtime.
Yeah.
All those things that you seem to be missing.
Yeah. Woe is me, right? let's see. Cheryl says, what I noticed is what I seek has changed organically. Through this practice, my seeking is stronger to go within and not seek outside. Grateful for this. You don't have to apologize for typing on the board, Cheryl. That's what it's for. She said, sorry. let's see. That can be a good thing. Childlike behavior is the empty shell we seek. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's just it's the idea and the truth, indeed, that everything that seems to be occurring is only occurring within the mind, right? That there is no substance to any of this, and the only value that it has is what it says about where our minds are. There's no solidity here. It's all imagined.
So is that called projection?
Yeah, that would be classic projection in A Course in Miracles. Yeah.
Yeah, so what appears to be going on in the world is just a projection and not the reality of things, which is why really everything is so forgivable, because it is just a projection of what's going on in mind.
Right.
So, you know, if we get irritated with our spouse or whatever, it's our own irritation being projected and having somebody to blame then.
Yeah. Yeah. So we see the problem is out there.
Right. And as long as the problem's out there, it can't be fixed.
Right.
There's no peace of mind.
Right. So if there's irritation in your mind, you can call it out for what it is.
Right.
It's irritation in my mind.
Right.
It's my lack of peace. And how do I return to peace? I return to peace. I turn within. And do whatever my practices are or whatever.
Instead of holding it out there and holding it against somebody.
Or trying to fix them.
Yes.
Or, yeah, make them better or whatever. Oh, that's the same thing. Hi, Kathy.
Hey, Kathy.
We are on page 315 of NTI.
You missed that first paragraph, Kathy.
we're recording it if you really want to hear it. All right.
17:18.
Yep. Therefore, watch your mind and be honest about what you see. Remember that your desire is split, but remember also your true desire. The other is a desire of the past, and it has no purpose for you now. Let it go along with the thoughts that stem from it. Seek not the past. Live not in the past. Remain fixed on the current desire of the heart, and you remain fixed on truth. And you know, the thing about being in the split mind, and the thing about if you will, the journey to awakening, is that you know, there's so much that is residual. You know, it's like we've been learning about the code and how every situation will present both a lower vibrational choice and a higher vibrational choice. And following the higher vibrational choices is following guidance, right? And you will get more guidance by doing that. But always those two choices are available to you. And if you continue to choose the lower vibrational choice, you continue on in the same circumstances, in the same state of mind, in the same situations as you were in before. And so this is how we need to let go of the past. So if even though I and the rest of consciousness have created the situations that I seem to be experiencing, I can let go of the past and move into a higher vibrational level and not experience them in the same way. And this is how you traverse the steps to awakening. Right? It's like, so saying let go of the past here is you do not have to continue on in the same, you know, in the same vibrational, and I'm using lots of hand language here, y'all can't see.
Slicing right through it.
Slicing right through the air. But it's like, you know, it's a flat line, right? The same vibrational choice, continuing to look out on the world, think that it tells you something about the world. Right? Think that it's solid, and you continue along the same flat line of as long as you continue to make those lower vibrational choices. So that's to like carry all of the crap from the past with you.
Yeah.
But if you make the higher vibrational choice, you change the trajectory of your awakening, of your experience, of all of it, because you move up, and now I'm stair-stepping with my hand, you move up through those vibrational levels all the way up until awakening. So that would not be carrying the past with you, right? So those are really our two choices. So those are the steps out of the split mind. If you want to stay in the split mind, you just keep right on your, you know, horizontal path, right, the way you were going, and keep making those lower vibrational choices. And every situation will present you with an opportunity to make one of those two choices, to follow, as A Course in Miracles would say, to follow one voice or the other, the voice of the ego or the voice of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of David Hawkins, how you're referring to this, because he talked about the levels of consciousness. And you're saying choose the higher level of consciousness.
In each and every situation, yes.
Yes. And that is a way out of the lower level of consciousness. Yeah.
And out of the past.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Where we've been till now. Where at least our lower and our higher vibrational choices, you know, have gotten us. But, yeah, where we've come with our lower vibrational choices. Okay. I'm not sure where I am.
I think we're ready to start the new chapter.
Okay. NTI 2 Corinthians chapter 7, page 316. A mistake that you make is believing that you are guilty for the imagining that you do. I tell you, you are not guilty because you are imagining. You are not guilty because you are taking a walk through fantasy. You are not guilty because you have literally done nothing.
Yeah, I think we discussed this in some detail, and it really impacted me last time we did, because we... and this is well stated, exactly what we said, is if this was real, you'd be guilty,
right,
and you'd be doomed to your guilt. But since it's just a play in the mind, there's no effect. There's no real effect, and you can let it go and not be burdened with the guilt.
And in the terms of the code where we were just talking about it. you know, that there's, it's just consciousness experiencing consciousness, and there's no harm, there's no foul, there's no loss, there's no anything in that. But where you want to be, where you want to find yourself in that vibrational field is your choice. And guilt would be the lower vibrational choice in each and every instance.
In every instance,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It says, this seems difficult for you to accept because you believe the world. You believe the world is real, so you must be guilty. Can you see the direct connection between your belief in the world and your feeling of guilt? Well, can you?
I beg your pardon, you're talking to me.
I was... Connie Poole. Right? Can you see the direct connection between your belief in the world and your feeling of guilt?
I can.
For the reasons we just talked about,
exactly.
Right? I mean, to the extent that you believe, you know, so you go to the grocery store and you're nasty to the cashier, right? And then you feel guilty about it, right? You wouldn't feel guilty about it if you just went, if you looked back on it and went, oh, I see how I made the lower vibrational choice in that instance. I won't do that next time, or even, gee, I might go back and apologize to the girl, right? But I see now that there were two choices to make. I could have sat there patiently and done an open-eye meditation while I was waiting for her to, you know, finally ring up my groceries, right? I mean, or you can go, oh, man, I suck. I'm always so mean to everybody. You know, boom, boom, you can just feel that. Ugh, you know, just dragging yourself down into that lower vibrational level. So even after that instant, you know, you made that lower vibrational choice when you hollered at the cashier.
Yeah.
Then you walk out of the grocery store. You got another choice. You can feel guilty, or you can use it for your healing by seeing what was just at work in that last situation. And to choose to use it for healing is to make the higher vibrational choice in that next moment.
Yes.
The lower vibrational choice is to feel guilty.
Yes, and it feels a lot more whole. And so you're stepping out of the separating is what you, and that's what you do with guilt anyway. With guilt, you say you're different than me. What you're doing is wrong. And therefore, you know, I'm going to judge you for it. I'm going to yell at you for it. And then I'm going to feel bad because I've done that. But it's really a rectifying of that. It's going, oh, we're one and the same. There was no difference. There was no reason for judgment. So it is a healing and a rectification, I guess.
Yeah, compounding the error, Kathy says.
There you go, Kathy. Well said.
Much more succinctly than we did as well.
We won't feel guilty about it.
No, let's move on. Can you imagine for a moment that the world is not real? Can you imagine it as fantasy or a made-up daydream? When you imagine this, really feel it. Feel that the world is not real. And when you feel it, do you see how your feeling of guilt goes too? You know, and this is just stepping back, you know, because when you step back, like with awareness, watching awareness or becoming the observer, whatever it is, you know what it feels like to feel one step removed. Right, I was telling Ann, we did a dyad this afternoon, and I was saying it's, you know, because one minute I'm like, you know, frantic with, like I said, seem to have a bunch going on, and then to just slow down and really feel inside, you know, what's really going on, and just really settle into the peace of my being. Everything shifts. I mean, it shifts even visually. It's like I told her, all the sharp corners have softer edges, you know? It's like it's like looking through that, and I know you've heard me talk about this before. My understanding is they used to film Doris Day in her movies with the cheesecloth over the camera, so it all looked all soft when they would go to Doris Day, right? But it's that kind of look, right? Everything kind of gets soft and a little bit further away when you step back into the observer role or to the being aware of awareness role. And so in doing that, it's easier to see it all as like a little movie that's playing out. You know, it's like having on virtual reality goggles, right? You get the sense that it's just playing out right here in front of these eyeballs instead of being something real that I as a separate entity am coming into and observing different parts of. You know what I mean?
I do. In fact, it's funny that you would mention that because I know more than once on this program, people have had to listen to my really first mystical experience that I had, and that was I had this deep, profound knowing when I was at the academy that the world wasn't real. And when I was flooded with that thought of that, I wasn't in the world when I was having that thought. And at once, I could see that there was no children suffering, and there was no harshness, there was no pain. And you know, I just had this profound experience where I just cried and cried with the relief that the world wasn't real, and the happiness and the joy that came from that knowledge. So, and I think that's exactly what this is speaking to.
Yeah, and you know, it's, hey, Debbie.
Hey, Debbie. Hey, Savannah. Hey, Autumn.
Hi, girls. And when you can make that shift, you can see how it's absolutely a choice. It's a choice when you remember to make the choice, right? I mean, it's always a choice. But remembering to do it and then shifting into that way of seeing, you know, it just allows you to stay in that awareness. And the more you do it, the easier it becomes. And you begin to experience yourself as that awareness, as opposed to what we would call the normal mode of going about living, right?
Where we feel guilty for the children in Syria and
clunky and you know, and you really can feel that separate sense of self.
Yeah.
As opposed to this, which seems to be more, there's a greater sense of the boundlessness of your essence here. That it flows as one. Yeah. Okay.
13, I think.
This is what I am telling you. The world is illusion. It is not real. Heaven has not changed because of this imagined experience. And so you are not guilty. And because you are not guilty, you are free. I have told you before how loved you are. You have felt this love and known it. This love that I speak of, which you know is God, came to be known to you from within. This love that I speak of, which you know is God, came to be known to you from within. This love that touched you and moved you with holiness came into your awareness from within you. And this love you knew was real. You felt its comfort and you recognized it. Yeah, it's just really funny how in preparing to do this gentle healing tonight, you know, I'm only ever teaching myself, right? So I've looked closely at the tips. I've read the reading that I'm going to be reading later tonight. But it's all, I mean, it's all one lesson, right? So it's just funny that it's teaching the same thing that we're going to be talking about a little bit later, which is, you know, that all that it's all from within. Oh my, what a new message, right? I know it sounds crazy. Oh, is that what we're saying? But, and it reminds me of that article that Nirmala did about love, how you can really, you get the sense that the world is within you rather than you within the world when you realize where all of these things come from. Because you think, I'm feeling love because I'm in close proximity to someone that I love, or because I'm watching this really great movie, or because I heard this lovely story. But that love comes from within you. In that article I was referring to by Nirmala about love, and I can't think of the exact name of it, but he's like, look at unrequited love. Even if the person doesn't love you back, if you've fallen head over heels in love, don't you feel exactly that same love? It has to be emanating from within you.
Yeah.
And so by recognizing that these things are within us, as I said, it's easier to see that, in contemplation of that, it's easier to see that the world is within us rather than us being within the world.
Exactly. Yeah, and even that experience we were talking about a few minutes ago where you knew there wasn't any world, it was like, yeah, it was a bubbling up from within that said what you seem to be seeing without is not so.
Could you say that again? My mind went, sorry.
There was something within that was saying what you seem to be seeing without is not so.
Right. Yeah.
There aren't suffering children.
Right. There was a knowledge within you that
yes.
said, that's not real.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a knowledge.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why you dropped to your knees and said, thank God, it's not
yeah.
real.
Seven.
But I thought I might read that
okay.
That paragraph I just read
again. You may.
I have told you before how loved you are. You have felt this love and known it. This love that I speak of, which you know is God, came to be known to you from within. This love that touched you and moved you with holiness came into your awareness from within you. And this love you knew was real. You felt its comfort and you recognized it. You felt its comfort and you recognized it. We've talked about that many times, haven't we? Nothing in the world can comfort you and love you. The love that comforts always comes from within. You always feel it there and know it there. You may credit something in the world with having caused it, but that is a mistake. The love came into your mind and filled your awareness through your willingness to know yourself as love, through your willingness to know yourself as love. This is the meaning of God. It is the love that lives and fills every being with perfection from within. This is the meaning of God. It is the love that lives and fills every being with perfection from within. This is your truth. This, which you have known, is reality. By all this, I ask you to look again. Look first in your heart and find God there. Then look at the world. Know that all hearts at the deepest core are the same. And then look at the world. Feel God. Feel truth. And then look at the world. Which one is real and which is illusion? Which is your true desire? Which do you want to be and to extend? You know the answer. The answer to my question is your truth. What you seek above all else is yourself. You and your reality are the answer. You know, I think the Course says the same thing about when you encounter a brother, look first within and then to your brother. But this is, it's just really powerful because, you know, all the love, all the peace, all the happiness, it all comes from within. So to look for any of that without, either in objects or in other people, other seeming people in the world, starts from the wrong premise. Because it's what you find within, you use the people in the world and the situations in the world to express that which you find within. And that expression, that being love and peace and happiness, that is the experience of God. That is the experience of your capital S self. That is awakening. That's awake. That's being awake. The expression of what you are. What more could there be?
Yeah, and that's where that that you've taught many times that's the extension rather than the contraction. Because you're extending to the from the depths of your being, which, who you know you are, you extend that, and then you can find the joy in that extension, as opposed to the contraction where, you know, we're feeling guilty and looking out for ourselves and that sort of thing.
Yeah, which again, that's the natural result of looking outside yourself to tell you who you are.
Right. And once again, this, what's so nice about this book is over and over and over again, it just tells you what forgiveness is. And this is just, it's just telling you what forgiveness is again. It has nothing to do with what's going on in the world. It's only from what's going on in your heart. What's going on in the world is an illusion, it's a facade, and if you believe it and judge people from it, then you're going to miss the experience of forgiveness. Mm-hmm. But if you know it's all coming from within, it doesn't matter what your brother's doing.
Yeah. They probably want me to read or something. It's not just sit here with my eyes closed. That is beautiful, Connie, says Cheryl. Oh, it is beautiful, but I want you to know Cheryl said.
Thank you, Cheryl.
All right. Open your heart and welcome yourself. You are the truth that you seek. And in welcoming yourself, you welcome your brothers. And you welcome all that is true about the world. Right? That's the joining, right?
Yeah, that's what we're just saying. That's what I was just saying is this that's in the depths of your being, when you share it with your brother, then that is the joyous experience.
All that is not true is let go, because that which is not true is meaningless. In this way, you rest in God. When you rest in God, your truth is welcomed. Okay, wow. I am buzzing along. Good stuff. All right, so that takes us to NTI 2 Corinthians chapter 8, page 317. Listen for my words, and you shall hear them, for I am always willing to speak to you.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, see, that's the problem that we all have, that we all a lot of times seem to have, is that we think that the inner guidance is not there, that the comfort's not there, that the only reason for that is because we're we're not focused within, right? Because, and that's the point here. I am always willing to speak to you.
Okay.
Not just when you've been good, not just when you've been meditating a lot, right? Or whatever. Listen for my words and you shall hear them, for I am always willing to speak to you.
Okay.
You do not hear me when I speak because of your thinking and your thoughts about the meaning of the world. And listen, that sentence really struck me above, although I didn't really comment on it. All that is not true is let go, because that which is not true is meaningless. And that's that outer focus. It gives that outer focus gives everything meaning. You know, everything meaning. Well, what does that mean? That means I'm not going to be able to afford that new car that I wanted. Or what the hell does she mean by that? Or, you know, everything we label, we judge, we categorize, we put in its little, you know, slots. But if we begin in this place where we just all were, right, or where we always are in truth, but where we could feel it, if we begin from that place in our hearts, then we, as you said, we look out and we join with that that's true. And as NTI said, join with that that's true in our brothers and true in the world. And we let go of everything that's meaningless. So he says, if you're not hearing me when I speak, it's because of your thinking and your thoughts about the meaning of the world. It's because your focus is again, it's not within. It's because your focus is without. It's you're believing what seems to be happening in the world. You're believing that it has some meaning, that it has some effect on you, has some ability to rattle you, to keep you from your peace.
Yeah, you're going down that same path that guilt goes down.
Yeah, guilt, worry, fear, anxiety. But if you're willing to lay down your own thinking, you will hear me. Hey, George. When you are willing to lay down your own thinking completely, you will hear only me, and you will rejoice.
Gets right to the guts of it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Let me tell you what it means to give everything. This is not a statement that can be measured and judged based on actions within the world, for the world is not real. Therefore, you cannot be measured or judged by anything in the world. But you can use the world to measure and judge your own giving, for your belief in the world is the measure and judgment of that which you give. And this is what, you know, this is where we started before, talking about Regina's tips. You know, there are no facts in the world. All the world simply is a reflection of your state of mind. You can use the world to measure and judge your own giving, for your belief in the world is the measure and judgment of that which you give. You give through thought. There literally is no other way to give. This is not a partial statement, nor is it symbolic. It is a statement that is whole and completely your truth. You give through thought. You give through thought. There is literally no other way to give. What you give is what is experienced. So your experience is a measure of what you give. And so it's what we were saying before. It's like, you know, what am I bringing to the experience? Am I bringing this peace and love and joy that have to originate from within me? Am I extending that? And therefore having that experience? Or am I extending separateness and damn it, cashier, won't you hurry up? And, you know, don't you know I have places to be? And, you know, so you're experiencing that. And then that's, like you said a while ago, you can feel that. And that's the experience that you'll have. But you are generating the experience, not the cashier.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We're not the victim.
We are never the victim. That's right. That's right. And so, and that's how the world is
perpetuated.
Definitely perpetuated. But symbolic of what is going on in your mind. If you're believing in separation, that's the experience that you'll have.
I think that ego,
or I don't know, or the way we, I say we, we, me, you know, that we, I have liked to see these concepts as like these larger concepts about that's how separation is perpetuated in the world, you know, it, you know, this is how the human mind, but no, that's the experience that I'm having, right? I'm either having the experience of having looked within first and remembered and recollected, recollected, right, the love and the joy, the open-heartedness, right, the peace that's within me, and then take that out into the world and have that experience. Or I'm believing these thoughts,
and everybody's in your way,
and everybody's in my way, and everybody, and I'm separate, and I'm worried about where my next paycheck's coming from, and I'm worried about what's going to happen with this house, and I'm worried about what's going to happen with the move, and I'm shattered into a million pieces, and this shattered me goes out and interacts with the world and continues to have shattered experiences, splintered, you know, separate.
Split mind.
That's a split mind, yeah. When I ask you to give everything, I ask that you give all thought to the true desire of the heart. This is the only way in which you can give. To not give in this way is not to have given, since that which does not exist cannot be given. Kathy, wee, 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 all the way home. the confused mind, the separate mind, hears, I got to give everything. Oh, my God. I'm not giving everything, right? I'm not going to march to some entity's tune. I got my own thing going on here. No. You don't understand. What you're giving is the thoughts of confusion. Give those to me. See how everything serves my true desire. It's the willingness to give every thought, every situation to healing. That's what's being you're being asked to give.
Yeah. Yeah, like something's being taken away from you. No, everything's being given.
It's all being given.
Yeah, it's the wrong premise. Very nice. Thank you, Jack.
Thank you. I ask you now to focus this lesson on the thoughts in your mind. Do not look at the world. And do not look at your brothers to see how well they are learning what I teach. Got it, Connie? Are you with me?
Caught me again.
Come on.
Kitty, kitty. Kitty, kitty, kitty.
Okay. Honey, to look at the world is to measure your thought. What you see is your measure, not theirs. So if you look in this way to see your own thoughts. Again, it's that using the world as a symbol of what's going on in your mind. So don't look out there and go, boy, is he messing up. Did Connie do that wrong? Right? It's like, what am I experiencing if I'm going, gee, isn't she wrong?
Yeah.
I haven't looked in first.
Hi there.
So what you see is your measure, not theirs.
I don't know what it means by your measure.
You're seeing through the filter of your mind. You know, what you're experiencing is what you've chosen to experience. You've chosen to do, it's that, you know, go about splintered and separate, and you've chosen to be either in that state of mind or to be in your heart first and to come from there. So if there's a problem in the world, you need to go within again and see what it is that you're believing, where your filter is, you know, what filter you're wearing, where you're coming from. It can never be Connie's problem. It's always my lesson. Oh, it can be your problem when it's your problem.
She almost got out of that.
But yeah, I mean, the lesson is always mine. If there's a... if there's irritation or agitation or anything but peace and happiness and joy, it can't be because of something that's gone on out there. Because as we just talked about, peace and happiness and joy are inner conditions. And our inner conditions are projected onto the world. Right? So by the same token, if there's if I'm experiencing agitation, irritation, fear, anxiety, or whatever, that's what I'm projecting onto the world. So I can't look out there and say, you are really messing up, right? Because that's not, because what we said a while ago, I mean, because love sees that it's impossible to really mess up. The only, you know, the only choice is to see a problem or to see the truth. So am I seeing the truth or not? Right? Am I knowing that none of this has any meaning, or am I believing that it's real?
Yeah, I just wasn't familiar with that, what you see as your measure.
You know, it's like, and I don't know if this is the verse, but that Jesus says the measure you meet will be measured, will be meted unto you.
How much ever you give is what you receive.
Yeah, because it's what you're sending out. And, you and I have talked many times about how the Course in Miracles talks about, you know, ego sends out its messengers, you know, like growling dogs to bring it back scraps of, you know, blah, all this awful stuff, right? I don't know exactly what it says, but it's awful. And Holy Spirit sends out the angels of joy. and those messages are brought back.
Yeah,
so this is
whatever,
saying...
Whatever you're seeking to find.
Whatever you're seeking to find, you'll find.
Yeah.
I think she wants you to pet her right there. So, I ask you now to focus this lesson on the thoughts in your mind. Do not look at the world, and do not look at your brothers to see how well they are learning what I teach. To look at the world is to measure your thought. What you see is your measure, not theirs. So, if you look in this way, to see your own thoughts. But I tell you, it is better for you now not to look at all. It is better and more effective if you remain focused within your mind. And you know, there's a period where... And I may have heard Regina teach this particular paragraph, and I know I went through a similar experience. What I think she taught about this paragraph was she was advised at that time not to watch the news. And, you know, I certainly went through a period that seemed to be my guidance as well, not to watch the news, because at that point for me it was just too confusing, because you look out and you do see abused children and people shooting up schools, and you know, and you're not able to say, you know, that's confusion within the mind. You really think that there's somebody out there that's hurting, somebody out there that's to blame, you know, you at some point on this path, it's just difficult to see it as merely a reflection of the thoughts in my mind, right? So I think that that's what's going on in this paragraph. It's like, right this minute, maybe you better just focus within until you get the hang of it, right? Until you're familiar enough with grounded enough within, so that then you can take what you find within to the world outside. Because right now you're in a split mind, and you're not, and it's not going to be helpful for you to attempt to do that. I think that's all that's being said here. Kathy notes that measure also means to consider one's words or actions, which are based on our thoughts.
Thanks.
Right. So, yeah, it is better and more effective if you remain focused within your mind. I ask you to remember who you are when you look at your thoughts. I have told you that you are the one Son of God, without division, living not within the world. Do your thoughts tell you this? Do they tell you that you are holy and one and not separate from anything? I added that second and or that third and. Do they tell you that you are holy and one, not separate from anything? Do they tell you that the world does not exist and you do, and so you must not be in the world? Do they tell you that you are with God and God is with you without distance or absence of any kind?
Sweet.
If your thoughts do not speak the truth of you, your thoughts are not the thoughts of giving. Look then in your own mind. Ask yourself truly how much you are giving. You give more by not giving less. You give truly by focusing your mind to give in alignment with the heart. Your true desire will guide your giving. So let your true desire lead in the watching of your mind. Lay down thoughts of non-giving by seeing them as nothing, for that is what they are. Pick up the thoughts of giving by knowing the true desire of the heart. For in being true desire, you are giving. And all that you give is received by everyone through one mind in full. And again, that's, you know, that kind of pulls together both things that we've been talking about here, which is this, the idea of the code and choosing that higher vibration. And then that leads you to the next higher choice and the next higher choice. And that feeds the one mind, right? Those choices feed into the one mind. And write the code that everyone experiences. And the other idea is that of looking within first, and from that place, looking out at the world, and that's giving. All right.
Cool. Yeah. And if anybody watches very much of Byron Katie, you sure get that feeling. That no matter what's going on, she's looking in and has that peace and that calmness. And she just brings that to every scenario because that's what she is. So that's what she's experienced, and that's how she interacts with the world.
Right. regardless of what seems to be coming her way.
Yeah, whether she's got a gun pointed at her stomach or not.
Right. I was just looking because it said, "Welcome, Regina." I don't see Regina. See Doug. I see Jay. Ken, Becky, and Regina. Cheryl, I am sitting in for Regina tonight, and I'm like, she's in the room, But we have 6 minutes, but given that I'm going to lead the gentle healing group, it would be my preference, Cheryl, if you would play some sweet music for the next few minutes so I can get some more tea and take care of business here and come back and lead the group in 5 minutes at 8 o'clock. So thank you so much. And Connie and I will be back here next week to say the same thing we say every week. We love you guys, and we're thrilled to be on this path of awakening with you.
Good night, everybody. Thank you.
Okay, bye. See you in 5.